Welcome to the Affiliated Monitors Expert Podcast, hosted by Tom Fox on the Compliance Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone. This is Tom Fox, back again with Mikhail Gordon from Affiliated Monitors in our five-part exploration on aspects of monitorships. Today, we're going to take things in a very different and, I think, very interesting direction, as Mikhail will talk to us about teaching compliance and investigations at the International Anti-Corruption Academy. So, first of all, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Tom. Happy to be back.
Could you tell us what is the International Anti-Corruption Academy?
Sure. This is an international organization. It was formed by 70 member states just about 8.5 years ago, and it is dedicated to enhancing knowledge and education in the field of anti-corruption, only anti-corruption. We run graduate-level programs and degree programs dedicated to training professionals in combating corruption in all its myriad forms.
Where is it taught or held?
It's headquartered in Luxembourg, Austria. And for those of you who aren't familiar with Austria, it's just outside of Vienna, about 20 minutes. Some of the programs are held in other locations around the globe, but headquarters is Luxembourg, Austria.
Who attends the Anti-Corruption Academy?
We've got students from over 70 countries, probably more by now. Really, we get everyone from American students, European students, and heavy presence of students, a lot of prosecutors and investigators from developing countries who are looking to expand their capabilities and technical skills in combating corruption back in their home countries.
So what's your role at the Academy?
I've been on faculty for about 5 years, and I teach corporate investigations and compliance. And then I also supervise graduate students when they, certain graduate students, when they're writing their thesis, if the topic is in a particular area of my expertise.
So you mentioned the number of students and just hinted at the various locations that they would come from across the globe. So how do cultural differences come into consideration when teaching compliance at the Academy?
Well, that's actually one of the more enjoyable elements of it. We touch on a lot of cultural differences, and we'll raise scenarios or questions in the class, and we'll have folks from the Middle East, from Africa, from China, from Indonesia, India, as well as Western European countries, from Brazil, from the U.S., from Canada, from all over, and the range of opinions and how this culture impacts considerations is always a lively debate. We talk about the differences it can make in planning an investigation, particularly when it's got cross-border aspects, cross-cultural aspects. The design of a compliance program, how that can be heavily impacted. We talk about even tribalism or socioeconomic groups and how that may impact people's willingness to whistleblow within an entity's settings. And we talk about what controls, what's acceptable and ethical in one country, but may not be deemed or seen in the same light in another. The idea of gift-giving as standard. I mean, this is not a typical practice, for instance, here in the U.S., but certainly in many countries, particularly in Asia, this is a standard, and it would be rude not to give some token. So we discuss those at length.
So how does the ever-evolving technological aspects of compliance, data analysis, new technologies have an impact on building and operating an entity-wide compliance program?
Oh, this is one of my favorite parts of the program that I teach, because, you know, not everybody really is focused on technology necessarily, and we start with some exercises where we look at the different data privacy laws and cross-border data transfer laws, and it never fails. People are just blown away to discover even their own country's laws or lack of them. We talk about how we handle employee privacy and employee data, personal identifying information. And we look at how that impacts the creation when you're structuring a compliance program that has to take in multiple jurisdictions, competing laws or laws that really conflict with one another, predicated on the jurisdiction. And we have a good time looking at historical data, how to find open source information, and whether that can be used in a compliance program. Can it be part of due diligence? What's the value of it? So the best part of teaching that is, of course, it evolves literally constantly. So every year, really, I have to redesign part of that curriculum to adjust for all the developments that have gone on around the world and in the types of technology. We talk about biometrics now, where even 5 years ago, we really didn't.
How does that type of discussion go with such a wide variety of students in a wide variety of countries where both enforcement, investigation, and compliance programs may widely differ? So from the United States to Brazil to Western Europe, but also in emerging markets and other countries where they may not be as mature in their compliance programs. How do you handle those kinds of discussions?
Well, they're actually some of the liveliest debates we get because, as I mentioned earlier, some students may discover in being forced to go look at sections of the law that they don't typically examine, such as data privacy or what sort of protections are around even consumer data or employment, labor and employment law, and dictate how information is used about an employee. They are blown away to discover maybe they don't have protections. I had one student who's a prosecutor, and he said one of his goals when he got back home was to look at drafting proposed legislation to cover this. He was appalled that they had no protections. Whereas others will get into a lively debate about how they ought to be able to use this. It's necessary for an investigation. So this really generates a heavy, heavy, lively debate. And folks look at the different levels of sophistication, and we talk about how do you work through that if you don't have an evolved program or you don't have sophisticated physical technology to aid in this. And that's one of the values of the class. These are all professionals. They've been working in the field for many years. So they bring a lot of their own knowledge with them, and that's one of the values of having this group together. If they're all studying for a master's degree, but they all bring just a wealth of knowledge of their own. And you get it in a room together, and there's really a lot of value out of it.
Mikhail, unfortunately, we are near the end of our time for this episode, but I hope our listeners will join us again tomorrow, where we expand on one of the topics from this episode, which is cultural differences. But tomorrow, we take it in the direction of international and U.S. domestic monitorships. I greatly look forward to continuing the conversation. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
Hello, everyone. This is Tom Fox again. I'd like to thank you for listening to this episode of our 5-part series exploring aspects of monitorships with Mikhail Gordon, Managing Director at Affiliated Monitors. For more information on Affiliated Monitors, check out their website, www.affiliatedmonitors.com. I hope you'll join us again for another episode where Mikhail and I take a look at another aspect of monitorships, which is something that you should consider in your compliance program going forward. This 5-part series is a production of the Compliance Podcast Network. Thanks again for listening.